wonderful, wonderful hymn of the faith, one that goes right with the subject of our devotional challenge this evening, how grandparents can leave a lasting spiritual impact on their grandchildren. May the Lord find us faithful. This is not going to be an exposition, it's going to be an inspection and an introspection, because we're going to consider what the Lord has accounted us and placed before us as stewards. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word and the instruction that it gives to us at whatever stage of life we may find ourselves. And Lord, we know that the glory of grandparents is certainly their grandchildren. And we thank you, Lord, for the blessing that you grant unto us. Be with us as we meditate upon these truths, in Jesus' name. Amen. Yesterday, Joseph and I, Jimmy's son, went for a walk. And Grandpa and Joseph were walking. And it was just a beautiful, beautiful evening. Still light, of course. Right about this time we were walking, maybe about 6:30, and you could just look up to the clouds. And Joseph said, "Grandpa, look at the clouds." And I go, "Yes, aren't they beautiful? Those are cumulus clouds." I said, "You know, there's different kinds of clouds that the Lord made, the cirrus and the stratus and the cumulus, so the big cotton candy ones." And we were walking down our way. I want to make him Lord conscious and practicing the presence of the Lord, and nature is such a wonderful way of doing that. Well, today, Melody tells me that he was walking with Mom, Laura, and Laura mentioned about the clouds, and Joseph said, "Oh, those are cumulus clouds." And Laura looked at Joseph, "Wow, how did you know that?" The truth of the matter is, all of us know, it's not a matter of tremendous intelligence. Kids pick things up very quickly, for the good and for the bad. Well, I trust that in your case and in mine, it's going to be for the good. Their hearts are so sensitive, and they pick things up so quickly, whether it's scripture memory, whether it's stories from the Bible, whether it's applications to life, things that we may go through. Maybe we get a new cane or something that we need because we hurt ourselves or sprained an ankle or something. And there's always ways that we can apply biblical truth. Well, there's some principles I want to share, and I certainly don't have the last word. Many of you could share much more than I could by virtue of experience. But I want to share some principles with you. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Psalm, chapter 90 and verse 12. In Psalm chapter 90 and verse 12, it says, "So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." Principle number one that I receive is we must take advantage of the days that we are given. We do not know how long we're going to live upon this earth, how long we're going to be able to be with our grandkids or even our great-grandchildren if we have them. But the point is, we want to take advantage of all of the days that we're given. Now, some of you may be hindered by distance. So therefore, it's not an age situation as much as an accessibility limitation that you may be having. But we want to take advantage. I know that Sarah and Ken enjoy having Annabelle. They take advantage, and you savor every moment, don't you? You know, there's a price that you have to pay to have the grandkids over, and that's the sorrow of saying goodbye. But we need to take advantage of the days that we are given, because someday The Lord will call us home, and we want to have as much impact as we can in their lives. One of the blessings of the retirement years is that it may free up a little bit of time. The limitation then is one of finance, isn't it? Especially if you have to travel very far. Number two, you're already in the book of Psalms. I'd like to invite you to turn to Psalm chapter 39 and verse 4 for our second principle. Psalm 39 and verse 4. We need to realize that we are not guaranteed a tomorrow. We are not guaranteed a tomorrow. My brother Manny invited me to go up to New York State to visit with him. And he says, we'll just go and tour the city. And we'll go and see the Statue of Liberty and all of the scenic things. And go to various places and Chinatown and here and there. And that would be a wonderful thing. And then he made the statement, after all, you better hurry up and do it while I can still conduct the tour, he said. Well, the truth of the matter is, it's so easy to put it off and say, too busy, too inconvenient, too congested. But you know, none of us wants to look back to any of our loved ones and say, I wish I had made the time. And certainly not our grandchildren. We want to leave as much of a godly impression, but realize that we're not guaranteed a tomorrow. Psalm 39, 4, it says this, Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days what it is, that I may know how frail I am. Believe it or not, we're all frail. Even Ken, when I watch him lift all those weights on Facebook. But we're all frail. We need God's strength every step of the way. And then a well-known passage takes us to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 6. And I think you are well acquainted with the Shema. The Hero Israel. Principle number 3. If we have grandchildren, God wants us to pass the baton. Hear, O Israel, it says in Deuteronomy 6:4. Our Lord, our God, is one Lord. You got to have the right theology, folks. And I believe that God has providentially provided that for you. But then you have to have a matter of the heart. It's not just a matter of theology, but it's a matter of the heart. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, all thy soul, and all thy might. And that will be noticed and picked up by our grandchildren. And notice verse 6 and 7, these words which I command unto thee shall be in thine heart. That's where instruction starts, when it's first making a difference in your heart. Kids will know the difference. Once it's in your heart, then give it out like a sponge. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. And certainly grandchildren is not an improper extension. Thou shalt talk of them when you sit in thine house, during mealtime, when you're with the grandchildren, when you walk by the way, when you're looking up and looking at the beauty of nature, when you lie down, when you have those prayers with the grandkids and they say, oh, grandpa, grandma, one more question. You love to believe that it's their inquisitive minds, but I think that they're postponing the inevitable, and that is bedtime. But nonetheless, when they're lying down and when you rise up in the morning, let them know this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice. Some grandparents get up and say, good Lord, it's morning. Well, how about good morning, Lord? That's a lot better. And I think that we should look forward to the day that God has given unto us. Then look at Romans chapter 5 and verse 18. Romans 5, 18. You know, another thing, principle number 4 is this. We need to explain, we need to focus on helping our grandchildren understand how it's Christ's righteousness that saves us. It is such a tendency on the part of children to be performance-oriented that if I do this, God will then love me. We need to teach that salvation is trusting in what Jesus did for us. His righteousness is what saved us. And it is not hard to teach that to children. And children need to learn early that we are accepted in Jesus and in God's sight because of what Jesus did for us. Look at Romans 5:18. Therefore, as by the offense of one, that's Adam, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one. Who is the righteousness of one? Jesus. By Jesus' righteousness, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. But let's remember that we must receive that gift through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned, by one much more they which what? Receive. So you have to receive that free gift and believe that Jesus Christ is the righteous one. You know, in 1 Peter 2 and verse 2, the Bible says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. That takes us to principle number 5. Focus upon helping your grandchildren grow in their walk with God. Can you honestly say that you have seen spiritual growth and development in the grandchildren that you know have received Christ as Savior? Can you see a difference? I'll tell you one thing, you'll be able to know whether your children are having devotions with your grandchildren, because there will be that maturation. You can tell if the children are going to children's ministry, if going to church, because it will be exemplified in their relationship with the Lord. And they're like newborn babes. They desire the sincere milk of the word to grow, you see. So focus on helping your children grow in the faith. Ask them questions. Teach them. Give them a testimony. Share your experiences when you were a child. From Sunday school class, I know that some of you have some very good childhood memories. And you can think all the way back. I think Trixie was able to go back to, what, 6 months or 8 months or something like that? So therefore, you'll be able to share many a testimony. Then, you know that passage in Galatians 5:22 through 23? The fruit of the Spirit passage. We need to, number 6, be an example to our grandchildren by exemplifying the fruit of the Spirit. I don't know about you, but to be transparent, I'm a lot more patient than I was as a young parent. I think it's probably less testosterone. I don't know what it is, but ask Melody. I have a lot more patience than I used to. I used to be a dynamo, but you know, we need to develop the fruit of the Spirit. That matter of love and joy and peace and long-suffering. That term long-suffering, long to boil over. Boy, that speaks about it, doesn't it? Do you see a difference in your life during the maturation process? I think you probably do. And it talks about gentleness and goodness and faith, meekness, temperance. We can tell our grandchildren about God and His love for them, but we have to model the truth of God's Word. Del, I'll never forget, and I mention this every once in a while, every chance it comes to mind. First series that I ever heard Brother Del preach when I came to Central Florida Bible Church was on what book, Del? Titus. in Titus, the term adorning the doctrine of God is used. Isn't it amazing? Can we adorn the doctrine of God so that like a Christmas tree, we attract a child's attention? A child walks up and sees a Christmas tree and the glitter and all of the intricacies, and boy, they want to examine it and touch it. And our grandchildren, they learn by touching and seeing and beholding. Well, we need to be an example, as the Lord has given us this wonderful hymn, Find Us Faithful. Number 7, read God's Word together and focus on how the Bible can lead them in the path. You remember that passage in Psalm 119:105? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I think of my dear grandmother, and the first thing that comes to my mind is when we would read the Bible together. I would read it to her in English, and she would read it to me in Spanish. And we would teach each other. You talk about the language course, Babel. Well, I'll tell you what, I got the crash course, and it started in God's Word. Little did I know that one of my early ministries, one of the things that I would do as an associate pastor would be to conduct a Spanish Bible study. And I can just graciously give a lot of credit to my grandmother, who used to make lunch, and then we would share together, and she'd share with me experiences back from 1898 when her family housed American soldiers during the Spanish-American War, and how that her parents opened up the house to house soldiers and feed them and provide shelter for them because they so appreciated the American occupation and liberty. And she'd tell me all kinds of stories, and I'd just be wide-eyed and just so excited. God has given every one of you opportunities that you can share, and you can read God's Word together and help them to see how God's Word helped you go through difficulties. And that child will learn how they can face life's difficulties as well. And then, of course, in 1 John 5:14, we need to pray with and for our grandchildren. Are they on the top of your daily prayer list? It's 1 John 5:14. This is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Oh, pray for your grandchildren, especially be of ministry in their hearts and lives. Should any of that grandchild's parents be unbelieving or not knowing Christ as Savior, have your grandchildren draw pictures. I don't have all of my grandkids nearby, but you know, our homes, offices ought to be filled with pictures that are colored for us, and have them draw pictures. One of the best ways for you to learn what your grandchild has on his mind is for that grandchild to draw pictures while they're visiting in your home. Draw Grandpa a picture and give him all the coloring crayons they need. And you know, they'll draw a picture of the family, and you can actually tell. Sometimes a child will draw a picture of Grandpa and Grandma, and maybe the parents or one of the parents a little more distant and far away from the picture. You'd be surprised how a child can actually let you know what's going on in their little lives by what they put in a picture. Not only do psychologists do this, but we as parents, grandparents, can learn a lot about that as well. And have them draw your pictures. Share prayer requests. How can Grandpa and Grandma pray for you? When you go out on your walk, ask them, how can I pray for you? Is there anything bothering you? And they'll share, and they will share. And what you get, it's not they're gossiping or anything like that, but hold those and pray for them and pray together. Keep a little journal just a little jot a journal on what some of those requests are so that you can pray for them faithfully. Well, just some thoughts. I know if I went around the room, we could probably be here literally another hour just sharing experiences that God has given to you. Grandparenthood is quite an excursion, and quite frankly, I'm looking forward to it in the coming years. Melody and I will be a little freer in a lot of ways, and when you got six, they're not all married yet, but by the time they are, and the way they're scattering all over the country, it just seems like we may be doing a little bit of traveling, so as some of you have already done. So we need to keep on praying for one another, and we need to keep in touch and share what those requests are so that we can continue to pray for one another. Let's give thanks to the Lord. Father, thank you for your word, and we thank you, Father, for giving us our children and our grandchildren. Oh, Lord, it's in many cases, there's some real burdens that are in our hearts for them. But, Lord, you've placed us where we are to be used by your Spirit. And, Lord, there's some circumstances that are, Lord, very difficult. And I pray for wisdom for each and every situation. And give us wisdom, and, Lord, give us grace to make a difference in each one of their lives, that they might come to Jesus as Savior. Bless our time of prayer together, and we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.